Welcome to Elevated Leadership, where we embrace the truth that everyone is a leader, whether they recognize it or not. The secret to having great impact lies in how well we lead ourselves above all else. I'm Jenna Young, a hospitality entrepreneur and certified professional coach with over 20 years of experience as a leader. Having learned the ropes the hard way, my mission is to simplify the journey for you. Let's take this path to elevated leadership together. Welcome back to Elevated Leadership. In this episode, we will be discussing five leadership habits to drop today. And I'm so glad that you're tuning in. We're here at the end of January, and I hope it's been an excellent start to the year. It's a great opportunity to check in on how you wanted to feel in this year and if you're headed down the right path in 2024. And it's never too late to readjust and flow with new ideas or goals that seem to be coming up. All right, today we will be talking about the five leadership habits to drop. They are not serving you and they are getting in the way of genuine influence and connection. And I chose these five because I speak with countless leaders who are untangling this messy ball of yarn that has been created with these habits. And shocker, I also learned these from my own personal experience. As always, I may be looking at these through a business leadership lens, but they extend to all areas of your life. And everything that we discuss today can start with the leadership of yourself and then expand it out to the others who you're leading. I'd love to know if these surprise you or if they help you to try something new. And what habits would you add to this list? I decided to pick five just for the sake of time, but I'm positive that you have great ones in mind. You can reach out to me on Instagram at Elevated Leadership or via email on my website, elevatedleadershipgrowth.com. I'm ready. Let's go. Number one, stop venting, oversharing, and gossiping with your staff. It is a big mistake to share your owner and leader frustrations with employees. And I do understand why this happens because it's an attempt at connection. And we know that leaders connect. But it's the wrong type of connection. This is especially common in small businesses and organizations where you work closely with one another and you want to be liked and you're looking for sympathy and help. Maybe you're overwhelmed, but doing this oversharing and venting will create a mess. Let me explain. Think about this from a parenting perspective. Even if you aren't a parent, you've definitely been a child or you know other parents. So consider this. It isn't helpful, or in this case, professional, to share your financial woes, frustrations with your partner, anger about other siblings, etc., with your kids. Honestly, at its root, it's selfish because it feels good to you in the moment, but there may be a quick payoff, and in the long term, it's muddying boundaries and creating confusion. I don't mean to say that employees are like children. That's not the comparison here. But what I mean is that when you're in a position of leadership, like parents, it comes with responsibility and maturity. So why do leaders do this? Usually they're looking for support in the wrong place. And this is common for leaders who are out there doing it on their own without a strong support system. And it's common for parents who feel alone in the process and want their kids to be their friend through it. This habit almost always isn't done with bad intentions. We're all doing the best that we can with the tools that we have. And typically the leader simply doesn't feel confident and stable in their role, so they're looking for other ways to connect or gain support from staff. The leader thinks that this will create loyalty and trust and help them with their overwhelm, but it basically accomplishes the opposite. Also, let's face the fact that leadership can be lonely. Maybe you as the leader are simply looking for someone to bounce ideas off of, but the employee and the team as a whole will end up resenting you because you're putting a burden on them that they aren't expected or even compensated to carry. And here's a big thing. It's not stated, but there's an energetic exchange happening here. And when you're engaging in this habit, you're being manipulative, even if that isn't the intention. It has this vibe of, if I share this with you, you'll feel special and then you'll work harder for me and maybe I won't be so overwhelmed. I have been this manipulative person, so unfortunately, I speak with authority on this. When you gossip or complain about team members, you're also creating a division between them and you're losing trust with them. If your goal is to create a team, then you're working against yourself with this habit. If you will speak in that way about one person, how can that employee know that you aren't doing the same about them? And when you share these issues with one employee and not the others, it gets weird. A great gut check is to ask yourself, would I want all of the employees or team on this level to hear the same information? Because if the answer is no, then don't share it with one of them. So what can you do? It is imperative to build a team for yourself, and I use that term loosely. This includes the people where you can be candid and address the issues. So this may be a coach or a friend, a partner, or my favorite, build up leaders within your team and work with them to find solutions and problems. Notice I didn't say vent to them, but rather work with them appropriately to talk about the problems and identify the solutions. You don't have to do it alone. If your team is very small and employing other managers isn't in the cards right now, find someone outside of the organization like a coach, a friend, a mentor who can help you to navigate. I've never spoken with a leader who was happy with the outcome of this habit. So you can drop it today. If it's something that you've been doing, that's okay. Own it, make an apology, and reset it with a new approach. It is never too late, my friend. Do you have a team who's ready to elevate their leadership? The very best way to improve a company is to improve and invest in their team. I'm offering customizable group workshops that cover topics you will not hear on this podcast. These workshops have been highly effective in working through existing problems, creating more awareness, and giving the participants a new baseline to work from together. Everyone is a leader despite their title, and when you treat them as such, they elevate themselves. If you're interested and feel that this could benefit your world, please reach out via our website or my email, hello@elevatedleadershipgrowth.com. You can also find me on Instagram @elevatedleadership. Some may not recognize this next one as a habit, but it is. A habit is anything that you do subconsciously, so without realizing that you're choosing to do it. And this is the habit of taking things personally. Talk about an energy drain. Somewhere along the way, most people learn to make everything about themselves. It's pretty normal, actually. And you can choose to change it today, and it will be a relief. I actually shared a reel about this recently. Effective leaders are not getting hung up on the behavior and choices of others, and they certainly aren't taking them personally. The main reason is that effective leaders know that there's always a bigger picture. We don't know how other people were raised or treated or are feeling in that particular moment. And all of that helps to shape how others are acting toward us. It just isn't about us all the time. My mother-in-law passed away recently, and I had this moment where I was walking through the grocery store, and I was distracted by it all, by life, everything that had happened. And I had a moment where I thought, no one in this store has any idea what's on my mind right now, that I'm sad or worried about my family or missing someone special. And they could look at me and decide, wow, she's rude. Or she's in a mood, or she should smile more. We really don't know the full picture, and we make a huge mistake when we make other people's picture about ourselves. The effective leader holds themselves accountable, and they can quickly make an apology for something if it's needed. Their ego isn't in the way of admitting when they've made a mistake and then moving forward from it as a better person. They see it as an opportunity. It isn't something that will take them down. And if the effective leader has genuinely been offended by someone, they know how to communicate that clearly and without drama. In the end, regardless of the scenario, effective leaders manage their own emotions and either communicate directly or they move on quickly, and this saves a tremendous amount of energy for that leader. So notice when you're making the story about yourself and check in on that. Remember that the ego wants to keep you afraid and safe. So the ego developed to convince us that everything does or doesn't happen, and it's completely related to us. It's very far from the truth. It's such an effective way for the ego to keep you stuck and in a place that, quote, feels safe, but actually isn't. Practice finding a balance between giving others the benefit of the doubt and communicating clearly if a boundary is crossed. It's a great practice to address someone when they've crossed a boundary or acted inappropriately. But you can do that from a place of calm and non-offense. One of my favorite tips here, because looking at it through a leadership lens, there's lots of times where we need to address something. And what I'll do before addressing it with the person is to try to come up with at least one other explanation for the thing that's upsetting me. So here's an example. Jack is perpetually late. It's irritating because you've brought it up with him and he's still late. Now, the truth really could be that Jack has no respect for you and is actively trying to make you mad because he thinks it's funny. That could be true, sure. That's what your ego wants you to believe. But what else could be true? Maybe Jack is caring for a family member and the person who comes to relieve him so he can go to work is perpetually late. Maybe Jack has been hitchhiking to work because his car broke down. He didn't want anyone to know. Maybe he can't figure out how to set his watch and he's embarrassed to tell someone. All of these examples are just as real as the other. But I share them because they open your perspective before you go to have the conversation. So when you go into the conversation, regardless of what is really happening, you are more open and curious to finding a solution and less defensive and sure that you know what's going on. You won't know until you get curious and you ask from an open place. Habit number three is keeping the wrong people around and in your orbit. And you all know who I mean. In fact, when I just said that simple sentence, who came to mind? Because I don't want you to ignore that. And this habit can apply to your wider net and circle, to every relationship in your life, and especially when it comes to disruptive employees who aren't aligned in their values. And we mentioned this before, but as a leader, you have a responsibility to people on your team and to yourself to create a positive culture. So when you create that culture, the right people shine and they love you for it. When we talk about protecting or maximizing our own energy, nothing can wipe energy quite like the wrong people in your orbit. There are some real scientific reasons for this, actually, but I'll spare you for now. And I don't need to overexplain this one because you've all been there. Either you held on to someone for too long or you worked somewhere with one of these people who were around for too long. That one person can wipe the productivity and positivity out of the bigger picture. And you risk losing someone great because you're afraid of an uncomfortable conversation with the person who's not great. You end up losing a lot more than you gain. Gary Vaynerchuk shared a few amazing videos on this, and they really stuck with me. And it's around this concept of hiring slowly and firing quickly. And he said that the reason we hold on to people, one of the reasons, even after we know that they may need to go, is that our ego is tied up in the fact that we hired them. Our ego cares more about being right on the hire than creating the positive change. And that really struck a chord with me. And he also shared another video surrounding the cost, financial and otherwise, of holding on to the wrong people. Your best-selling team member may appear to be three times better at connecting and selling the product, but actually, the three people right below them are excellent too, and they're being kept down. They're not able to shine. And so when you can remove that person, the other three people can come up, and there's a real financial and energetic cost to keeping the wrong person around. Everyone can rise when they're in a positive culture that supports them and helps them to shine. The fourth habit to drop is one that I'm very familiar with. Maybe you are too, and that is the belief that you need to do it all. This is especially true if you own a business, and I work with many leaders who think, A, they need to do it for themselves if it's going to be done right. It's this belief like, it's just easier if I do it myself. It's going to be too hard to explain it to someone else. And the other belief is that they can't afford to have someone else do it, and sometimes that's true, but let's talk it out. It's important to identify what you're great at, what lights you up, and do your best or at least take steps to hire the rest. Give other people an opportunity to shine with their gifts because there's someone out there who loves to do that thing that you're struggling to do. And when you can free up your time and energy, you will be able to do so much more for your company, for the people around you, for yourself. This is especially important because you really want to avoid overwhelm. And it comes easily when you own or run a business. Trying to do it all is a guaranteed path to losing money and losing your sanity. And when this happens, you can get desperate and you're far more likely to fall into all of the habits that we're talking about today. If you're attempting to do things that will never be in your wheelhouse, you're wasting your energy and you'll be doing them poorly. And your company deserves more than that. So imagine what opens up for you when you can step back from those tasks and find support there. I don't want to seem out of touch because I do get that it can be hard to find the right person. And sometimes it isn't in the budget, or it isn't in the budget yet. But what I'm suggesting at this point is that you do deserve to be supported on some level, and where you invest your time matters. So the belief that you have to do it all is fear-based and it is standing in the way. When you identify a belief that isn't working for you anymore, sometimes it's fun to ask where you may have learned it. It makes complete sense that I had the belief that I had to do it myself. And that didn't change until I began to look at it, question it, and change it. So that is available to you. Back on that financial piece, though, I have a personal example. When we first opened Side Street Cafe, I was drowning. I didn't even know what I didn't know. I had all of these beliefs swirling around. I was a walking embodiment of this entire list that we're talking about today. But quite importantly, the bills weren't being paid. And my husband suggested that we get a bookkeeper. And I told him, we can't afford to get a bookkeeper. And he told me, we can't afford not to. And he was right. So when we had a bookkeeper, that was a scary transition for me financially and everything I had to provide for them. They did what they do best, and it freed me up to do more of what I did best. All right, our final habit for this episode. I reached out to the Elevated Leadership community on Instagram and asked them what they felt were the worst leadership habits, and there were some excellent answers, so many doozies that will show up in future podcasts. But the one that I'm adding here today was sent by my business partner and the owner of Thrive Juice Bar and Kitchen. It's Megan. She offered micromanaging as a habit to drop, or she put it, obsessive micromanaging. Yes, micromanaging has a bad rap, and it has that for good reason. I do think that there's a time and place for it, but generally, micromanaging across the board from a fear-based place is not a good idea. Micromanaging, as we know, is a style that is characterized by excessive control in any process, and it's really just about maintaining that control, and it comes from a place of fear. So therefore, it's catabolic, it's low vibration, it's all the things that we talk about on this podcast. It's exhausting, and it makes it difficult to connect with others because they know or they can feel that you don't trust them. Even if you say that you do, you're not acting that. As a coach, I'm always curious about why behind someone who micromanages. There's always a reason to their pattern, and they learned it along the way of life, and understanding why you do what you do is really helpful to changing it. I would say it's vital to changing it. Typically, when coaching, we would look at and question those beliefs that lead them to micromanage. I mentioned that micromanaging has a place, and for me, that would be if you have an employee who has a very low skill level and has low motivation. But these are the people who you see a potential in and you want to help them grow. And if you temporarily need to be more hands-on with them to do that, then that makes sense. But if you're going to do this, quote, micromanaging, just consciously choose it because it's the best way to grow that specific person and not because you're unconsciously doing it to everyone and don't even realize it. And if you find that you need to do this on a permanent basis with someone, let them go or look at yourself to understand why you're choosing to do that. If you hire the right person and if you train them well and you support them as they get their bearings, micromanaging really should never be necessary. So there you have it. Do you see yourself in any of these habits? And if so, I'd like to say congratulations. You're creating awareness, and with awareness comes choice. And anytime we find a place to grow or improve is good news. I hope that you loved this episode. We really dove in. And if this no-nonsense approach to professional growth works for you, please subscribe, review, share this with any other like-minded leaders who may love it. As always, this podcast isn't possible without my producer, Mike Perlman, who guides and mixes and edits the whole process. And the cover art was made by my creative collaborator and friend, Allison Schenk. We are recording in the beautiful Swan Studios in downtown Bar Harbor. And thank you to my husband, family, and work team who all play a role in my ability to create this. Until next time, keep elevating, and I'm here rooting for you.